in the Sermon on the Mount. And this evening, we'll speak on just one verse in chapter 7. And that verse is verse 6. So the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and reading verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. This is really a verse in isolation. The verses previously are together, and then as they follow on, they're together. But this verse is one in isolation. And of course, it's not a very easy verse to fully understand. But it's clearly important, otherwise the Lord would not have spoken it in the way and on the occasion as he did. And so he tells us that we are not to give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. So there are two things here. First of all, that which is holy, and then that which we might classify as pearls. Because if we do that, then they may be trampled under feet, and they may turn again and rend us. So we might think, well, how is this verse applicable? Because if we read this in one sense, many people therefore do come to the conclusion therefore that there should not be any evangelizing, that people should just stay at home and perhaps gather together, but no evangelistic attitude at all. Because there might be that situation where pearls and holiness are trampled under feet. So how do we reconcile that with such verses as we read in Mark's Gospel in chapter 16 and verse 15, where the Lord said, and of course it is the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's very full and that's very complete, isn't it? We don't have to ponder it to think what it means. Clearly we are to go into all the world and to preach the gospel unto every creature. And there is therefore no excuse not to carry out this gracious command of our Lord. So how do we reconcile these two statements? Well, I believe we reconcile it in this way. First of all, it's clear that the gospel is to be preached to every creature, every creature. That none should be omitted, because we don't know who are the Lord's. We don't know whom the Lord will work in their heart. And therefore, the gospel is to be freely preached and to be declared to everybody. But then there may be those who reject it, who turn their back upon it, and perhaps speak very wrongly and with an evil heart and with much vengeance against the truth of God's word. Now, to such, those are the people that we should therefore follow this injunction, and not cast our pearls before swine or give them those things which are holy that they might trample on. And that would seem to be really the thrust of the verse here. But there are other things which we should not pass over. And we read that verse in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and the second chapter. And in that second chapter, right towards the end, we read, to the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So that means that the truth of God is, to those who are born again, life unto life. But those who are not, it is death unto death. And to such, therefore, the word of God will not truly profit. But we don't know who they are. But when they reveal themselves as so antagonistic against the word of God, then we should not pursue this avenue, because in that situation what we are doing is we're giving that which is holy unto such people who would only despise it and hate it and turn again and rend us. And then the Apostle Luke, when he wrote the Acts of the Apostles, he writes in that chapter, in the 18th chapter, he speaks to us and tells us these words. And again, we should recognize the importance of them. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, what did the apostle do? He shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon you, your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So there's a clear example. When Paul was preaching at Corinth, and that was the effect, some rejected it and blasphemed, and therefore the apostle turned away from them. And that really is fulfilling the words that we have here in this chapter. And we perhaps also, we might think of the occasion of Naboth. Now, Naboth is a well-known character in the Word of God, and you may remember that when they came to ask that he might provide food for David and his men, his reaction was so against them. He was so against them. Well, they'd done good, and they went to his wife and explained the situation. And these words we record now: therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak unto him. We see the picture there, don't we? As he didn't want to hear anything about the truth of God, he would have been aware of David's position and David's condition. So it surely is a fulfillment of these words here: give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample under their feet and turn again and rend you. And then also in the Old Testament, in the book of the Proverbs, the word of God tells us, and in the 9th chapter of the book of the Proverbs, the 9th chapter and verses 7 and 8, we are told, the 10th chapter and verses 7 and 8, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Now again we have the two opposites. And not forgetting, the gospel is to be preached to every creature, but there will be those who will reject such a truth. And then the Lord Jesus, again in this gospel in Matthew, he was speaking about this. And in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and verses 25. So chapter 15 and verses 25 and 26 and 27, we read, then came she and worshipped him. You remember, this was a woman, and she said, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast at the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So we see there, here was a woman that desired to truly partake of spiritual things. And yet there is this word from the Lord which says, but he answered and said, is it not meet to take the children's bread and to cast at the dogs? And she said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Well, we have this picture then that the Lord gives to us in this verse. But I think also it has a deeper significance. And I think it's like this. The Lord graciously blesses his people. And he blesses them with a personal experience and personal words from himself. And they are surely the things which are holy, and surely those things which are pearls to them. That means they're truths which are very precious and very real. Now, come back to the point that the gospel is to be preached to everybody, every person in the world. The gospel is to be preached to. But there are those things which the Lord has done very gloriously and very wonderfully in our own hearts and our own souls, which the unbeliever would not understand, would indeed trample it underfoot, would not realize it was anything of value or holy at all. And it's such things that I believe we are therefore to reserve really to the church of God. When we read in the book of Malachi that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, they were speaking often one to another of the great truths of the gospel which the Lord, that the Saviour, had revealed unto them. Because the worldly man will not understand, will not appreciate, will have no idea of any value in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't recognise that he is a sinner before a holy God. He won't recognise there are wonderful truths and wonderful things that we count very valuable as pearls. And if such things are shown to these people, the reaction to the ungodly will be they'll ignore them and they'll trample them underfoot in such a way like these animals are. And he uses these animals, dogs and swine. And we can think that swine, they wander around pretty carelessly and they trample under things, they have no concern for them. And the dogs, of course, can get very angry. So we see the two types there. And these things can operate when the truths of the gospel, as they've been made over to us individually in a very precious way, are set before people and they just trample them under feet. So let us not therefore forget that we are to declare the whole counsel of God. We are to preach the gospel, but we are to also beware of doing those things which will bring before unbelievers the great truths that God has given us and favoured us with. Now, I have actually copied out, and I thought I might read it to you, because this is, as you know, a difficult subject. A portion from John Calvin. And he tells us, again going over some of the ground I've covered, but here a question arises. For he afterwards commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul says that the preaching of it is a deadly savour to wicked men. And nothing is more certain than that it is every day held out to unbelievers by the command of God for a testimony that they may be rendered the more inexcusable, I reply, as the ministers of the gospel. And those who are called to the office of teaching cannot distinguish between the children of God and swine. It is their duty to present the doctrine of salvation indiscriminately to all. Though many may appear to them at first to be hardened and unyielding, yet charity forbids that such persons should be immediately pronounced to be desperate if aught to be understood. The dogs and swine are names given to every kind of debauched men, or to those who are destitute of the fear of God and of true godliness, but to those who, by clear evidences, have manifested a hardened contempt of God, so that their disease appears to be incurable. In another passage, Christ places the dogs in contrast with the elect people of God and the household of faith. It is not proper to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs, which I read in Matthew 15:27. But by dogs and swine, he means here those who are so thoroughly imbued with a wicked contempt of God that they refuse to accept any remedy. Hence it is evident how grievously the words of Christ are tortured by those who think that he limits the doctrine of the gospel to those only who are teachable and well prepared. For what will be the consequence? If nobody hears the pious teachers well prepared, for what will be the consequence? If nobody is invited by pious teachers until his obedience has anticipated the grace of God. On the contrary, we are all by nature holy and prone to rebellion. The remedy of salvation must be refused to none till they have rejected it so basely when brought to them as to make it evident that they are reprobate and self-condemned. As Paul says of heretics in Titus 3:11, there are two reasons why Christ forbade that the gospel should be preached to lost despisers. It is an open profaneness of the mysteries of God to expose them to the taunts of wicked men. Another reason is that Christ intended to comfort his disciples, that they might not cease to bestow their labours on the elect of God in teaching the gospel, though they saw it wantonly rejected by wicked and ungodly men. His meaning is, lest this inestimable treasure should be held in little estimation. Swine and dogs must not be permitted to approach it. There are two designations which Christ bestows on the doctrine of salvation. He calls it holy and compares it to pearls. Hence we learn how highly we ought to esteem this doctrine, lest these trample them under their feet. Christ appears to distinguish between the swine and the dogs, attributing brutal stupidity to the swine and rage to the dogs. And certainly, experience shows that there are two such classes of despisers of God. Whatever is taught in Scripture, for instance, about the corrupt nature of man, free justification and eternal election, is turned by many into an encouragement to sloth and to carnal indulgence. Such persons are fitly and justly pronounced to be swine. Others again tear the pure doctrine and its ministers with sacrilegious reproaches, as if they threw away all desire to do well, all fear of God, and all care for their salvation. Although he employs both names to describe the incurable opponents of the Word of God, yet by a twofold comparison, he points out briefly in what respect the one differs from the other. Well, I'm sure those words have put it more ably than I've been able to. But it is, as I say, a single verse which we should not pass over, and we should meditate on and realise the importance of it, and especially, I believe, with regard to our own personal blessings that we've been favoured with, we are to declare those to the Church of God, but we're not to declare them to the world at large, who would not understand and who would trample them underfoot. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Our last hymn tonight is hymn 154. 154.